Ramsey TV.
I talked about this yesterday, but I'm really getting it big time in my mind, better than I had it yesterday. I was just exploring it yesterday, but the more I think about it, and I wrote about it in the introduction to yesterday's video, MZTB 1246. This is a real revelation. And that is that chaos is a front. A total front. Thus, you have to put chaos in quotation marks, because there is no such thing as true chaos. If I'm going to make the statement that chaos is pre-planned, then it can't really be chaos, can it? Why is this such a helpful revelation? I mentioned it yesterday, but I'm getting it more ingrained today, and it's so helpful. It's because life's events are such a strain on the faith. See, life's events are not a strain on the faith of unbelievers, because they think that the chaos is real. They think that life is all about chance. They don't see any order in the world. Our problem is we know that there's order. We know that by Scripture. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1:11. So we're the only ones with this unique problem. We know the underlying truth. But the problem is that on the surface, we see, quote, accidents. We see plans go awry. We see events that appear to have no real reason for happening. Like, God, why did you find it necessary for me to stub my toe or bump my head or get a paper cut? Or when I tried to reach my friend on the phone, I couldn't get hold of them. All these tiny frustrations in life that, by all apparentness, couldn't possibly, they're so small and they're so stupid and they're so aggravating, could not possibly be a part of a plan that is founded upon order. So for us, the strain is on the faith, because knowing one thing, we're seeing a completely different thing. And I will reiterate this: the world does not have this problem. Because they're just dealing with chance, with what they perceive as chance. They're just dealing with what they perceive as randomness, as chaos. So you can see why they wouldn't have a problem. They're dealing with it in what they would call real time. And they try to overcome it by bringing order to their lives, by trying to force order into events that appear to be anything but. And they measure their success by the success rate of them being able to make order, to create order. But if we see things as already ordered, then we don't have that compulsion to force all of our ducks to be in a row, to use a popular idiom. I even see squirrels, speaking of ducks, speaking of the animal world, you see squirrels dropping nuts and they have to go back and get them. You see birds trying to get worms out of the ground and missing. You see your dog, my dog, Charles, he's walking along and he gets a burr on his paw. Why did that have to happen? And yet it did have to happen. And it's tempting to think that God can't keep things straight. God can't keep things aligned. But you know how hard, here's the shock, here's the revelation. Do you know how hard God has to work to cause things to miss? We know that the word sin means to miss the mark. God never sins. Thus, the only way we can justify apparent chaos, apparent missing in the world, is to understand that it's not really a miss, but that God is doing it all on purpose. Then the question remains, why would God do any of this on purpose? Two reasons. One reason for believers and one reason for unbelievers. The reason for believers is that we are having our faith exercised every moment of every day. And the frustrations of life caused by all these misses, I'm not talking about like blatant sins. I'm talking about throwing a wad of paper at the trash basket and missing over and over and over again. But we read scripture verses, and you only need one. It's Ephesians 1:11. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will. But what do these things do to the world? These things cause the world to be unable to believe that there is a God behind the events of life. They can't believe it, because it's too random. It appears to be too unordered. Life appears to be a crapshoot, a clusterfuck. And because of that, and because of their apparent success in overcoming the chaos and the randomness and the clusterfuckedness, because of that, they consider themselves to be the masters of their own fate, masters of their own day. And it's so easy on that level to deny that there is a God. Because what God worthy of the name would allow, and that's the word they use when mocking God. You think God would allow things to go so badly, things to go so wrong? But we know that God doesn't allow anything, but he causes everything. So they trip, the world trips. Just as they trip at the foolishness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 lays this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of humans. And in the past, I've always related this to scriptural events. Noah's Ark, the creation of the first humans in the garden. God's chosen path to bring salvation to the world. A man, his own son, being crucified on a cross. All that is the foolishness of God. Scripture tells us that it's wiser than the wisdom of men. Scripture tells us that God is doing foolish things on purpose to confound the wisdom of the world, to cause the world to think that they are wiser than God, because they would never do anything as foolish as what God does. And they can't even believe that a God worthy of the name would do these things. Yet we know, because he announces it in the scripture, that he does. But then you have the occasional human, the scientists, I mentioned this yesterday, who look into the building blocks of creation, and they are stunned by what they find in the cell, in the atom, in DNA, what they find. And even mathematicians looking into numbers. Math is God's saving grace in the eyes of the world. Mathematics is God's saving grace in the eyes of the world. The world will give God a chance, like, oh my God, look at this. Mathematics is freaking perfect. Numbers are perfect and they never change. It's like a gift God has given to even the human race in general as evidence that he is a God of order. But beyond that, every once in a while, you get a scientist, a curious one, who looks into the micro world, into DNA, into the atom, into the cell, and they realize, oh my God, the substructure is ordered, complete order. And so everything built on it is order. Then why the chaos? Because the chaos is actually an extension of the order. It is God's foolishness. It is the surface waves of the ocean. How many times have I told you not to be upset by your surface moods? Because I equate it to the waves of the ocean. And you see the waves of the ocean, apparently chaotic, rising and falling at their own whim, at their own will, but no, they're not. The bottom of the ocean, the ocean floor, the depths, it's solid, it's secure, it's unchanging. It's just a dim analogy. But life, the structure of life is the same. And scientists find this out when they look into the micro world. If a builder lays a poor foundation, then the entire structure is off. But if a builder lays a solid foundation, then the entire structure will be right. It can't be anything but that. And so the substructure of life's events is complete order. See, we don't need electron microscopes to know this. We have the scripture. Scripture is our electron microscope. We don't have to go to the trouble of inventing electron microscopes. Faithful men and women of God have known this ever since there was written scripture, or word of mouth scripture for that matter. They have known that the world is not in chaos, that there's no such thing as chance, that there's no such thing as randomness, there's no such thing as clusterfuck. It is all meant. It is all purposed. Then you come back to the question, why, God, why? To cause the intelligentsia to trip, to cause people to run away from God because they think he can't manage his universe. They think he can't manage his universe. He does stupid things, and stupid things happen every day. Small events, big events, small events, You have to know the secret. You have to know the secret. And this is the thing. God has told us the secret, that there's no such thing as chance. I mean, this is comforting. So I want you to tell yourself every day, whenever something stupid happens, whenever something seemingly insignificant happens, but yet at the same time threatens to drive you crazy, to make you nuts because of how unaccountable it seems, you need to know that God is doing this for a purpose, to increase your faith and to cause the world to trip at their own wisdom, so-called wisdom, to cause the world to trip. Because when it's all said and done, at the great white throne, these worldly people will see that they attributed the events of life to chance. They attributed it to chaos. They attributed it to clusterfuck. And they didn't think, because of that, they didn't think there was a God. And the defense will be, you had math. You had freaking mathematics. Even before the electron microscope was invented. And you had the stars. Whether you go micro or macro, you had the stars. The creation speaks of God's order. The stars, they never move. You had the macro and the micro. And again, even before the electron microscope was invented, where humans could look into the atom, into the cell, into the DNA, into the reproductive system in humans, even before that, there was math and there was the stars. And that underlies everything. That's the substratum, that's the foundation. And everything God builds on it is perfect, is perfect. So everything that happens to you today is perfect. You have to know that. You have to constantly remind yourself of that. Chaos, quote unquote, is a front. It's not real. It's a front. It's pre-planned to look like chaos. But it's anything but. It is anything but.